Welcome back to the Oarsman Podcast. I'm Coretta.
And I'm Zoe.
And today we'll be talking about Ariana Grande's new album, Eternal Sunshine. 2023 was a controversial year for Ariana Grande.
She had a lot of issues with, like, the media, especially commenting on her personal life. And she had one of her projects leaked for a different thing. It was for a movie.
Yes.
So she's been pretty resentful in the media towards, like, super fans and things like that, because it's a little too involved in her personal life.
In Eternal Sunshine, she critiqued the media a lot, I'd say, and her relationship and her divorce were two major topics in the album. And so I really appreciated the vulnerability and her openness within this album. And I think that it was very mature compared to her most recent projects.
I agree. It definitely reflected a lot of her personality right now. Like, it definitely reflected the things she's going through, and had a lot of distinct lyrics that you could tell were about her current situations and things like that. It was a lot different than her old style, which I think makes me a bit hesitant to it, because it just doesn't really feel like her general, like, pop and things like that. So it doesn't really feel like that.
I think she incorporated, like, new influences this album. And so, like, I thought it reminded me a lot of, like, Summer Walker, SZA, Victoria Monet, like, very, like, deep R&B. So that's what it mostly reminded me of.
Yeah. She said she was inspired by 90s R&B. So it makes sense as to why a lot of these songs have that different of a sound.
Very, like, Destiny's Child.
She has a shift about halfway through the album that I like. I don't exactly know how to describe it, but I think that the sound gets a lot more personal, and it was very deep, and I think she's embracing her new role in Wicked a lot. It's very clear that she's finding a different sound, and it, that's coming through in a lot of different ways.
She was, like, enunciating more, and I thought that she was singing in, like, a different register than she usually does. And so I thought that was pretty cool. But overall, this album was pretty emotional and very personal. And I enjoyed the, like, intimate side of Ariana Grande's life. So
first we have the intro to the album, which is called End of the World.
It wasn't my favorite track. I felt like it was just kind of, it was very short and it didn't feel complete, in my opinion. But I mean, it wasn't the best, like, introduction to the album, but I think it was fine.
I think it was okay. It kind of felt like her Christmas songs. And she had a few lines that, like, definitely held a lot of meaning, like, how can I tell if I'm in the right relationship, which can apply to a lot of different things. And I think it's interesting because, though she's obviously had issues with the media, I mean, this is definitely playing into it and giving people more of a sense of her, like, life, kind of a response, but in her own way, which I appreciate. But this definitely was not my favorite song.
The second track on the album, Bye, was, like, a very elaborate pop song. It had a very strong beat, and I thought that the chorus was pretty cool. But it was kind of a little, like, overwhelming for me at first. It was very powerful. So I had to, like, process this new Ariana Grande era.
Yeah, I really like the beat. I wasn't the biggest fan of the lyrics. And there's a lot going on with her voice, which kind of falls flat under the strong beat, because it's just the beat is so there, where her vocals don't really keep up properly. And I think that they were both good in their own ways, but not necessarily together.
I agree.
Number three is Don't Wanna Break Up Again.
I think I enjoyed the beat for this one. It was kind of a bland, like, generic pop song, but it wasn't horrible. Like, it wasn't bad. It was, you know, Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
So
this one was another one that felt pretty incomplete. I think if it had a stronger, like, ending, I guess, it would have been more impactful. But the issue that I find is that it kind of blended in with the rest of the album and didn't really make itself as a song unique.
Yeah.
And I thought it could have done that if it was done differently.
I agree.
Saturn Returns is an interlude, so it was very short, and it was definitely one of the odd parts of this album.
Yeah.
It hit at a very odd place. It definitely hit before the track song.
Yes.
It hit before the title song, but it was an interesting addition.
I think it could have fit better, like, you know, more in the middle of the album. Maybe like track 7, track 6-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was decent. And I didn't know who was speaking in the track, but I always do love that she likes to, like, include personal conversations with people in her life into her music, because...
And you'll see she does that multiple times throughout this album.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, the track song, Eternal Sunshine, the title song, had a trap beat in the back, and it was very, like, you know, reminiscent of 90s R&B.
Mm-hmm. This one was very... very focused on that.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty, like, ethereal sounding. Mm-hmm. I really liked her pitches in it because it felt very Ariana Grande, like those high notes, like pretty decent lyricism. It felt like a pretty long song to me, at least. It felt pretty repetitive, but I think it was good, all things considered. And I've never seen Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, but a lot of people were impressed with the music video and that stuff, where it draws from that.
Yeah.
And it's a very impressive commentary on her divorce using themes from that movie.
I agree. I think it's really cool that she's including different forms of media into her music.
Yeah.
And
things that influence her.
Yeah, different
things
influences.
That take her. So that's another interesting thing to see within the song itself. Next we have Supernatural. Another pretty basic pop song.
Mm-hmm.
But it, to me, it didn't personally sound like Ariana. Mm. Like, I kind of didn't hear her voice really much in it.
Yeah.
It sounded more like Halsey to me.
Very Chainsmokers.
Yeah, I just didn't really get that it was Ariana. I mean, obviously I knew it was her, but if I was listening without, like, knowing it was her, I probably wouldn't think it was her. I like the beat.
I think this one could be, like, a successful radio track. Like,
yeah,
a lot of these songs I was like, oh, I can see this on
the
radio,
like, getting overplayed,
driving around in my car and hearing this song. So I thought this one was, like, speaking, like, from a, like, audience standpoint, I think that this would be a very successful song.
It definitely sounded like you'd hear it on the radio a lot. And we'll get to a different song that has that exact same feel and is that way. True Story is kind of interesting. It wasn't really unique, but I liked it because it kind of sounded to me like it would be in the Mean Girls movie. Like, I watched the new Mean Girls musical movie thing, and it sounded like something that would be in that. So I kind of thought it was fun in that respect.
I think True Story was a really fun pop song, and I thought that, like, I know it's a fan favorite. It wasn't my favorite, but I felt like it was kind of not the most distinctive Ariana Grande song. I felt like it was kind of just a little bit bland, but it wasn't bad, you know? None of the songs, in my opinion, were bad. It was just different from what I'm used to from her.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, it wasn't unique, but it definitely played into things that she's delved into before.
Yeah.
Like, in her Thank You Next era, like, I definitely could have seen this
in that. She would have liked that,
This would, I see this fitting in there, mm-hmm. which is also funny because that was like her Mean Girls thing too. Like she played off of that mm-hmm. in her music video. But I think this definitely fits in there.
Now, my favorite track was The Boy Is Mine. And I thought this was a really catchy song. It's been in my head for the past few days. And I really thought it sounded like Victoria Monet, 90s R&B mm-hmm. to
Mariah Carey.
Yeah. And so I really liked the chorus, and I really enjoyed the bridge and the beat and the buildup. I thought it was all like artistically creative and unique. So
yeah, I agree. I think it sounded a lot more like her, and mm-hmm. I think it definitely is reminiscent of her old albums, like Positions and Thank You Next. Although I was a big fan of this. I think this was my favorite. Her SNL performance with it yeah. was really good. She got a lot of like fan comments from that, and I liked it. I think the staging for that was really good. Mm-hmm. It was just such a beautiful performance. Yeah.
Now, Yes And was released a few months ago now mm-hmm. as
it was
a single.
Like a single.
And I thought originally I wasn't extremely impressed by it, but I didn't hate it. I didn't dislike it that much.
It's one of those songs that's overplayed but very catchy.
Yes. Yes.
So it's stuck in your head yeah. quite a bit. The lyrics aren't my favorite, but I mean, the just Yes And, like, mm-hmm. it's very.
I think the production was really impressive. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the mixing between her vocals.
I think her vocals were really powerful yeah. in Yes And. And it's just catchy mm-hmm. overall. It's one of those things that's, like, you can't get over out of your head. It's playing on the radio mm-hmm. all the time. Like, people are putting it on their stories.
Yes.
Like, things like that. So,
and it's very,
I think it was.
It's very, like, 80s Madonna. Like, mm-hmm. Madonna.
Yeah.
Vogue. Like, mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Yeah, the music video really plays into mm-hmm. that, too. I wasn't the biggest fan of the music video, but I think
yeah.
that the song was one of the better ones on the mm-hmm. album.
We Can't Be Friends, Wait For Your Love was very related to her divorce mm-hmm. and relationship with Dalton Gomez. Mm-hmm. And I liked this one.
I agree. I think there was a lot of self-realization in mm-hmm. it, and it was super powerful
yeah.
coming out of that divorce and going yeah. into, like, relationships and kind of just commentating on that, where it's, like, it's talking a lot about, like, her self-realization, her getting into a new relationship, her kind of finding out things about her mm-hmm. husband, things like that. And it, obviously she hasn't really spoken up much about her divorce, so this album was kind of a good response in
yes.
a way, where it was like it left things up to interpretation
mm-hmm.
but it was also like powerful, moving, and kind of, I'm sure, got a lot of things off her chest, which
And you're right that there was a really, like, powerful shift in, like, mm-hmm. like transition in the later half of the album.
Yeah.
And so, like, all of the, like, last few songs really reflect her relationship mm-hmm. with her ex-husband. And they're very, very personal yeah. and emotional tracks.
I Wish I Hated You was very pretty, but I had a hard time understanding what she was saying without the lyrics,
yeah.
which honestly
yeah.
felt very Ariana as well, because she said in the past that it just sounds like she's, like, mumbling a lot of the time. But comparatively to these other songs, it was hard to tell what she was saying, because I think in this she's delved a lot into enunciating, especially,
yes.
like you said, with her Wicked role.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's playing a big part of it. But this one was a little more true to her
yeah.
mumbling
yeah.
pop.
Mumbling pop, yes, I agree. Imperfect For You, originally I wasn't the biggest fan for it, but I started listening to it over the weekend, and I was like, this is a good song. I really liked the chorus, and I liked that she used, like, an acoustic guitar in
yeah.
the beginning, because I feel like that's not something that she usually does.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really cool that she played into that musical genre.
Yeah, I loved the lyrics. I think the lyrics were one of the best on the
mm-hmm.
album. They were so raw and honest, again, about her divorce, but just in general, they were really powerful. Obviously, she was still playing off of R&B, which had a good sound.
Yeah.
I liked it. It did feel kind of like Disney Channel-ish with the guitar in the beginning especially.
Yeah.
But that could also be interpreted as like talking about her past and things like that. Like, she did come from those like kids shows. She did, you know.
Yes.
But even if not, I think that it was pretty strong and really good. Does she play the guitar?
I don't know. Maybe. But it also reminded me of a little bit of SZA's SOS.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a pretty cool influence in the song.
And the last track, we have Ordinary Things. Mm-hmm. Now, this was so fun. Her grandma, was in it. I wish that the Nona part was the interlude instead of Saturn Returns.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a lot more interesting.
Really cute, yeah.
But it was a cool thing to note, like, end on also. So I see it both ways. I just really liked that clip, and it's like, her Nona's reflecting on marriage and family and how you can't go to bed angry and things like that. And it ended with the phrase, "You're in the wrong place, get out." So that was definitely very, very retrospective on the album as a whole, on just what's happening with her. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Her grandma really provided that familiar, like, very familiar family connection, and I really like how she is so close to her family, like her brother, and I feel like we get so much insight on her, like, personal relationships with, like, you know, men, and but we never really, I really like that she tries her best to include her family in her projects.
And I think just adding her grandma was a really special thing, especially in the context of this whole thing. It's like, you have your grandma, like, she's kind of leaning on her and things like that. And it was just a really powerful sentiment. I think I read that she was the oldest person to be on, like, the Billboard. Like, because, obviously, because she's, like, she's not a musician. She's just in the thing. But she was, like, in the Billboard.
Wow, good for her.
She's in the top something songs, which I found hilarious, because not as a singer you're in the, like, top songs.
That's so cool.
The oldest person to have been there. So I just thought that was really fun and a really cool thing for Ariana to kind of create.
Yes.
I mean, like, obviously I doubt her grandma's doing it for, like, any sort of praise or anything, but I think it's just a really cool.
Yeah, it's super cute.
Yeah,
it's really cute. So overall, I thought this was a pretty good album.
I agree.
Yeah, and I look forward to her future projects. I'm excited for Wicked.
I think it's super layered. And I think that surface level, it might not be the best, but I think it's really, really deep and raw. I really appreciate the vulnerability
of it. It's
complex,
yeah.
It's very complex. I think that it's really good. It's not my favorite of her albums, but it's definitely
one
to talk about.
Definitely.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.